Please turn now, if you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, to the third chapter of 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. And I'll read just a few verses 13 through 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your grace. Thank you again for your word. Open our hearts that we might understand it and rejoice in it. And not only rejoice in your word, Father, but give you thanks that your word leads us to Christ and Christ leads us to you. So bless us to this end, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, amen. There are some folks, I suppose you know that they exist, that think that those of us who sing only the Psalms are a little loony. And one of these fellows said to me, oh, I suppose it was a couple of years ago during the summer, it's all right to sing the Psalms, but I want to sing about Jesus. And I said, well, that's interesting, because when you sing, the Lord is my shepherd, you are singing about Jesus. And when you sing about the Lord who makes the way of righteousness plain, in the Psalms, you are singing about Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. And in the Psalms, when you sing about the Lord who reigns, guess what? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who reigns. So I'm glad to sing the Psalms about the Lord and about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Psalms lead us to Christ. And not only the Psalms lead us to Christ, but the Bible as a whole leads us to Christ. Isn't that the case? Now, Paul says, the end of the law is Christ. The end of the word, the goal toward which the word of God points is Jesus Christ. And again, when you grasp Christ, what does he do? He leads you to God. And so you need to follow the Bible and follow Christ and come to God. And that's exactly what our text is about. Now listen to it. It's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And so follow Jesus Christ, whom you meet in the Psalms and meet in the Bible, because He leads you to God. That's the simple message. Look at the text again. For Christ also died. Well, we know that message, I think. Most of us know that message and understand that message. But there's something about that that you need to grasp and that I need to grasp. Let me put it this way, if I might. In 1977, some of you might be able to remember back that far. In 1977, there was a movie by the name of Oh God. Yeah, you remember that? And do you remember who played the lead role? Oh, dear me. George Burns played the lead role. I wonder if he meant to be a cigar-smoking god, because that's what he did most of the time. A family in our congregation had a little boy who was in a home where he was with another mother because his mother was working. And he saw George Burns on the television set, and George Burns was introduced as God. Oh, yeah, ooh, it's right. And the little boy stood in front of the television set and said, "That's not God." And the mother in the home said, "Well, how do you know?" And guess what the little boy did? He said, "God is a spirit, and He does not have a body like men." He'd been studying the catechism for young children, and he introduced properly this older woman to this concept that God is a spirit and does not have a body like men. And so, as our text speaks to us this evening, what do we have to understand? That in order for Christ to die, the second person of the Trinity to die, what must take place? He must become a man, correct? Yeah. He must. He must. Because God is a spirit and does not have a body like men. And in order to die, He must take on a body. He must take on human form in order to bleed, in order for His hands to be pierced, in order for His side to be pierced. But that wasn't enough. He must take on the form of a man in order that He might shed tears, but not only shed tears, but feel grief in His heart, to have emotions like you have emotions, to be sad and to cry and to weep and to mourn. He had to become a man. And this is exactly what He did. That the great God of heaven came down into this world in the form of a man so that He could die. Our text again. For Christ also died. And what was the objective? For sins, the text tells us. For sins. Now, we don't always like to talk about sin. But the truth is that we all feel our sins. I had a fellow years ago who asked me in the Sterling congregation, why is it that when we get older, that our sense of sin seems to increase? I said, well, actually, that's only logical. Because As you get older and you understand God better and you grow closer to God, who is most holy and most pure, what's going to happen? You're going to see your sins more fully. And that's a good thing. Because then you realize why Christ came. He came to die for sins. He came to pay the penalty due to you and to me for our sins. Sin is any lack of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Now, some of you have memorized that. And when we don't conform to the standards of God, what is that? It's sin. And when we transgress the standards of God, that's sin. Jesus put it this way. Do you have murder in your heart? Oh, no. But how do you look at your brother? With some animosity or hatred? Jesus said that's the same as murder. That's sin. And Paul the Apostle, who was very proud and he wanted to excel in his way as a Pharisee, was caught short by God. And he says that he really didn't come to understand sin until he understood the commandment, "You shall not covet." And he looked into his heart and he saw all the discontent that was in his heart. How he wanted to run roughshod over the lives of others and how he abhorred Christians and despised what they stood for. And he was discontent that they had a place in the world. He wanted to eradicate them. And when he understood the commandment, "You shall not covet," he realized, "You shall not lust," he realized the depth of his sin before God. Christ died for sins. He died in the place of people like you and me to pay for our sins. That is the gospel, isn't it? And the text tells us this. "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust." The just one, the one, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who is absolutely perfect. You know, it's hard for me to understand that. Is it hard for you to understand that? How a man could be absolutely perfect and without any thought that was unseemly or any action that violated God's commandments? I think about this from the perspective of children. You know, sometimes we look at babies. Irma and I saw the baptism of twins this morning. And I thought about the great privilege it was for me to baptize our triplet grandchildren. And sometimes we look at those babies and we say, "Oh, they're perfect." Well, that's got to be a figure of speech, doesn't it? Because they're not perfect. They come into the world as little sinners. Now, we kind of recoil at that idea. John Gerstner once went into a church and he saw that there was a white rose on the table next to the communion or the baptismal font. And he said, "Well, what's the meaning of the white rose?" "Oh, that's to symbolize the perfection, the innocency of the baby being baptized. And so then he said, in his own way, and so what's the meaning of the water? The water that symbolizes cleansing, you see. And he suggested that maybe a black rose ought to be used. Oh, that might offend some, but the idea is that none of us are perfect. None of us are innocent. The just for the unjust. We are the unjust ones, and Jesus Christ is the only just one. The only one who is righteous in every respect. And it's for those of us who are unjust that Jesus Christ dies on that cross to pay the penalty for all of our unjust acts. And the text says, in the original language, it's one word. Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. And those words, once for all, might be a little confusing for some of us. The words once for all do not mean in this text once for all people. That's not what the words mean. The words do not mean once for all individuals. That's not what the words mean. The words mean once for all time. Once to end all sacrifices. And you remember the Jewish history. The Jewish history which involves the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And when the temple was destroyed, all the sacrifices that were carried on in the temple ceased. Never again to be brought back. Why? It was simply because all of those sacrifices pointed to Christ and portrayed Christ. And once Christ was sacrificed, all of those other sacrifices went by the board. They are no longer needed. The perfect sacrifice has come. And He was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. No other sacrifice is needed. Think about that. No other sacrifice is needed. That includes your sacrifice. How you might feel that somehow you have to do something to atone for, to pay for, to make up for your sins. No. There is no way in which you may somehow atone for, make up for your sins. That's not possible. It is only the just one, the perfect one, who pays the sacrifice for sins. And the text is very, very clear then. Look at it again. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Do you hear those words? That He might bring us to God. Now in the New American Standard Version, which I'm using, it says that he might bring us to God. And some would say, well, do you see that little word might? Christ prepared the way, and now it's up to you. He can only bring you to God if you let Him, if you accept Him. I suppose some of you have heard that sort of sermon preached. But once again, that is not the intent of the words. Not the intent of the words at all. Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, for this purpose. This is the idea. For this purpose. To bring you to God. For that purpose. And does God or Jesus Christ ever fail in their purposes? I think not. I think not. That He might bring us, lead us to God. And in those words, He leads us to God. I see this picture. I see the picture of my grandchildren grabbing my finger and coming along with me and walking with me. I have this picture of my taking their little hand and saying, Let's go see your dad. Or let's go see your mom. And this is exactly what the text is portraying for you and for me. Jesus Christ reaching down, as it were, out of heaven and taking you, may I put it this way, by your little hand. You're going to say, well, it's not exactly little, but in comparison, it is. Taking you by the hand and saying, come on, come with me. I want to introduce you to my Father in heaven. And the picture continues, because Jesus Christ takes you by the hand and He escorts you into the presence of His Father. And He says to His Father, Father, I died on that cross in Jerusalem for the sins of Alan and Mel and Clark. And you ladies too. It says, Father, for this one I paid the price. And how is it? How is it that Jesus Christ can now do this? Well, examine our text again and see what it says. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Yes, you see, He was put to death in His body. And there were eyewitnesses who saw Him put to death. And the text says that He died, which means that there was a separation of His soul from His body. And His body was placed in the grave. And you remember what Jesus said when He was on the cross? Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. The souls of believers do what? Pass immediately into glory. And are made perfect in holiness. And what does the catechism say about our bodies? Their bodies rest, being still united to Christ, rest in their graves till the resurrection. This is exactly what happened to Christ. And on the third day, He was raised again by the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and His body and soul came back together again, and He walked among His disciples for 40 days, and then they saw Him ascend bodily into heaven to take His place at the right hand of God the Father. And so, as the gospel song says, Jesus lives. And as the Bible teaches, Jesus lives, and therefore He is perfectly capable, having died once for all for sins, the just for the unjust, He is perfectly capable of taking you by the hand and leading you into the presence of God. So when you read your Bible, who should you look for? For Jesus. You should look for Jesus in the Psalms. You should look for Jesus in those Old Testament stories that talk about David, the prototype of Jesus. And when you read the Gospels, you should see Jesus on all of the pages of the Gospel. And you should realize when you get to the end of each gospel and you read those passion narratives about His death, you should realize He died for sins once for all, the just one for the unjust one. Why? To lead me, to lead you to God. And so, follow Jesus. When you follow Jesus, what will your destination be? The presence of God. That's what your destination will be. Let's pray together. Father, what a wonderful text this is. Put in our hearts, each one of us, we pray, the desire and commitment by the power of your Spirit to follow Jesus. And we know from our text this evening, Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that He might lead us to God. That if we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, we will enter your presence. Bless us to this end. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.